interview was made on September 25th, 1996, at the home of 90-year-old George Skippers in Nunica, and his close neighbor, Jack Rollenhagen. Skippers was a truck driver all of his life and knows a lot about the highways of the state and the local area, and Rollenhagen is very knowledgeable on the interurban history. The first voice you're going to hear is Skippers, and you can sort it out from there.
Oh, you're going to be right in the sun there.
Well, that's okay. That'll feel good. You know, we were... you're not kidding. What book were we looking at? Was it this book? Oh, here, before I forget it, Jack, let me give you this $8. It was $8. Is that right?
Yeah.
$8. Okay.
Yeah, thank
you. Was it that book that we were looking at,
right,
or was
here.
It this one? Because there's a bus in here, and I wanted to see if that is anything like the bus that you brought from Chicago. No, this isn't the one.
You sure?
Well, must have been this one. Yeah, here we are. Now, where's that bus? Let's see. I'd have a hard time finding it again. No, we've gone past it. There it is, right there. Now, is that anything like the one you brought from Chicago or not? Oh, that's right. You've got a picture of it, haven't you?
No.
If you got one you want to find it later, just stick one of these in there.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Like that, and then you can...
Thank you.
Find it the second time you want it.
Well, I'll be darned.
Oh. That's not the one that came from Chicago.
Oh, it isn't. But no. This is... Now, is...
That's the one you want? That's right there. Well, number 11. That's the one I picked up at the white.
It, so that was a white?
Yeah, that was a white tractor, chassis.
Truck,
that was a good body.
You've seen that, have you, Jay?
Not really.
Yeah. Now,
remember the old bombers that we had during on Greyhound? It was the early ones.
Yeah. And what years would that have been?
Here's another shot of it.
Oh, boy.
That's Bud Vandenberg, Pop Vandenberg.
Okay.
And
that was the uniform they wore?
Yeah, that's the way we dressed.
Okay. Now, that isn't you.
No. I was just a big...
You were a driver then, too.
Yeah. And then here's... His dad started the first bus line in Grand Haven. And that's it there.
And that's it?
Yep.
That is the
down
first...
down Washington Street and went to Highland Park.
Well, I'll be there. Yeah, Highland, sure. Now, tell me, what was that person's name again?
Huh?
Who was it that had the
George
bus?
George
Vandenberg. Happy day.
He had a three-story building there in the second block of Washington Street where the bowling alley was years ago.
Right.
That was George Vandenberg.
And there he also
and he
had
a pop outfit in the basement.
Oh, did he?
And that's why... But George there, or Bob... He was called Pop all the time.
Uh-huh.
His dad run Pop, soft drink.
Oh, I see. I'll be there.
There's the old... Them are the Snowbirds. Those are 1923.
I'll be there. I can see the chains on the tires.
Yeah. There's a good... That's what we had to lift up by.
Holy smokes.
See this here bar coming out? That's coming out of the firewall from inside.
Yeah.
That's pipe. And then it's all hooked up there on hangers.
Yeah.
And it's got a chain around it. You crank it on the inside and you pick this plow up. And that thing weighed a ton, I tell you.
Oh, I
it's all right going
see.
Up.
Look at
but
the
boy, you got a tap dance coming down.
That's what you mentioned that.
Well, I can remember when the county had setups like that here.
Yeah?
But they was on a county truck to plow.
Yeah. They Greyhound hooked them right up on a truck, on a bus.
Okay, there, the plow's on the front of that. That's why you call them the snowbirds.
What?
That's why you call them the snowbirds. Those had plows on them.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. And were you plowing just to make way for yourself, or were you
plowing? Yeah, that's all we worried about, because everybody followed us.
Well, I bet. Yeah, right. Heck yes. And this was Greyhound then?
Yeah, that was Greyhound. That was before the state was taking everything over.
Yeah. And you went from where to where with Greyhound? Grand Rapids to Muskegon, or?
Well, Greyhound at that time was running just on 31, or, well, it was M11 then.
Yeah.
And that was running then from Muskegon to Chicago.
Oh.
And you That's when they first started that. That's the Lake Line.
Do you remember what the Lake Line was?
No.
Don't know what that is, but that's from local, isn't it?
Well, there were so many of them. There were so many of them in the business, and same way in Muskegon. My God, everybody that had a big car was running a bus because they had a streetcar riot and smashed up all the streetcars. So anybody that had a big automobile was in the bus business.
I'll be darned.
Because somebody had to move them people.
What was the? Why did they break up the streetcars?
Because they raised
the
fare a penny.
Is that right?
They raised it from a nickel to 6 cents, and everybody.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that was over just a.
That put that dollar foot right out of business.
There, that riot in Muskegon, streetcar riot.
And that's what they called it, the streetcar riot.
Yeah, they raised the fare just a couple of cents.
Yeah.
And boy, they destroyed a lot of cars.
Yeah, they raised it from a nickel to 6 cents.
Isn't that something, though? That's unbelievable. And was anyone hurt in the process, or they just took care of the cars?
Boy, they smashed everything up.
I don't know if anybody was ever hurt.
They'd get them a block apart and put them together and get off and let them.
Is that right?
It was out of business. They put them totally out of business. That was Muskegon Traction and Lighting Company at that time. That was a gas company.
Oh.
And then they had the traction, the streetcars.
Okay.
And they put the streetcars right out of business.
So that was not part of the interurban then?
No, that was no.
The interurban could
they just used
the track.
Yeah. Okay, the same gauge. Now, that's a good question. Could the interurban run on railroad tracks? Were they the same gauge?
Yep. Yeah. The same gauge.
Only on the railroad track, they couldn't get electric to go. See, they'd have to tow them.
They'd probably fire burn.
Well, of course, that's right. There'd be no electricity. Yeah. Couldn't
make it.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'd never heard that story.
Okay.
But I can show you quite a few pictures on that riot that happened in Muskegon.
Have you got them here?
No.
And what would that have been? The 20s or teens?
Boy, Lawrence Carlson could give me a real story on that.
You remember when that was, George? That
was
riot?
Fruitport.
No,
sure.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, when was that riot, George?
Huh?
When was that riot?
Oh, God. Let's see, I was...
It was in the early 1900s.
How old were you?
About 9 years old, I think.
I figure 10 years then.
Okay, 10.
From 90.
I think it was right around
80 that. Years ago.
Yeah,
80 from 96 would be...
96 is...
11,
yeah, that's right.
96, 80 from 96 would be 16. 1916.
1916.
We should have figured that. He was born in
1906. Yeah, I guess it was during the First World War. I think.
Okay, it'd be 1916.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, that was something.
Yeah.
They run them down Pine Street. That Western Avenue.
Western Avenue and Pine, they had a corner there.
Yeah.
And they let them go and see they'd coast. And they couldn't make the corner and they'd pile up.
Yeah, they run them down Pine Street and then they got to Western Avenue and Continental was in there. Factory was in there. Well, they built that factory down and that was down a little bit lower than Pine Street was. And Western. So they take them down Pine Street and they open them up, let them go, and they get down to Western and they turn. Go right over to Continental Yard.
Isn't that something? Now, was anyone ever, you know, if...
My sister lived on Western Avenue, on West Webster Street in Muskegon. And she had a streetcar right up to her front porch. And it jumped the track and it ran right up in the yard. It was still in pretty good shape yet.
Was anyone ever jailed for destroying the property?
No, I don't remember how that... Everybody was involved in it. Hell, every people was riding around in streetcars instead of cars.
Isn't that something, though?
They took over.
And
the Muskegon Ice Company was right behind the office. And the office for the Traction and Lighting Company was next to the armory back there. It'd be on the same corner of the Occidental used to be on. Only it was back over toward the river or toward the lake further. And that was really something.
Yeah,
the Muskegon Ice Company was back there.
But when you drove bus, where did M11 follow? Pretty much what 31 follows today?
Yeah, it's pretty all of that. Well, the old Michigan Pike followed that same tier.
Because
there wasn't too many extra roads through the country. They were still running around on Indian paths.
Yeah. Just gravel roads.
Now, Egan was laid out that way. Nobody could find. Those streets go all directions.
Huh.
Wherever the Indians made a path, they've made a street.
A lot of streets are just went to the sawmills, too, they tell me, over in Muskegon.
Oh, okay. And they were straight to the sawmills.
Yeah.
I remember Bob Hope coming to Muskegon. He was just a young punk come in there. He was at the Regent Theater. I went there, too. And he says, so this is Muskegon. He says, I came in and I got off, I guess, a lot out of town because he says I had to go find a hardware store and get a sickle, cut my way in here. I'll never forget that.
See?
But Buster Eaton used to come there too quite often, you know, at Buffton.
Yes.
Wasn't he from Muskegon, wasn't he? Buster Keaton was from Muskegon.
He was? I didn't know that.
He summered there for sure.
Wasn't Buster Keaton from Muskegon?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was born and raised there.
Yeah. Out in Bluffton.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was down the foot of Pigeon Hill.
Yeah.
They hauled Pigeon Hill away. That used to be higher one across the river.
The one that they're hauling away now.
Yeah.
Well, you mean Dewey Hill.
Yeah.
Dewey, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then Pigeon Hill was... They sold that. Oh, Muskegon had a fit about that. They said, they moved the hill away. That'd take them years to do that. 10 years later, there wasn't any Pigeon Hill.
Yeah, boy.
Ford put them damn boats in there and they hauled it right out of town.
Oh, Ford did it.
Huh?
It was Ford.
Yeah.
I thought that it went to the foundries around Muskegon.
No, heck, they hauled it out of there with the boatload.
Yeah. Huh. I wonder what Ford used it for. Foundry?
Windows.
Glass.
Oak for glass. Yeah. Okay.
Glass. Makes good glass. That's why they're all after it.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, Rosie Mound used to be quite a hill in Muskegon, or Grand Haven.
Yeah.
But when you came down from Muskegon and finally turned on to Old Grand Haven Road, we would call it today, you followed pretty much that same course.
Yeah, well, if you're coming out of Muskegon, we came down Peck Street, you know.
Yeah.
Out to, what the hell is that street now? You come through Broadway, and then you cross the tracks, and you come to the next light.
Is it?
And then we had a turn at that light, because that didn't cut over to that. You know, boy, that...
It went around by Mona Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Broadway, and then you come down Peck here, we'd have to turn.
Uh-huh.
And then the railroad track was here, and this street turn went. That was the road.
Okay.
Well, then they put this here jog in there, so that took that over. But this was the road before this.
Uh-huh.
And then you came through around Mona Lake and on the same road around now.
Uh-huh. And that was that paved?
That was paved to the airport road now.
Okay.
That was paved to there. And then it was gravel to Ponaluna. And then from Ponaluna to the county line, that was paved.
Uh-huh.
And then it was gravel from there to Ferrisburg.
It was, I'll be darned.
The pavement ended just about where the Pink's driveway is now.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it. Pavement ended, then it was gravel.
Okay. But then in Ferrisburg, then it was paved again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember Tudor Verplank. Do you know the Verplanks?
Yeah.
He told me when he was a youngster, they were putting the road around that went up over the railroad tracks.
Yeah, they put that. Yeah, that's where it is now. That was the route at that time that we had to follow. Before that, we had a turn on that street by Johnson's, you know, where the blinker is.
Yeah, right, okay.
You turn and go across the railroad track to the corner, then you went up, and then you came out where this meets now.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's okay.
There was a grocery store here.
I'll be darned. Yeah, that's either Beach. I think it was Beach.
Well, that came out here.
Yeah.
The Beach Road came out where the fire department is.
Well, no, I think that's called Beach Road, though. Beach Street.
Might be. I don't remember.
Yeah, right. And then, and then going across... You never did use the, you would have. How did you get across the river?
Where?
At the Grand River.
Well.
It went across right where the house.
You're coming down 7th, let's see. You're coming down 7th Street like this.
Uh-huh.
And then you make this was mostly all marsh, swamp.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you run across, and then here's Grand River.
Uh-huh.
I got to go that way.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And then come across where the Holiday Inn is.
Okay,
now.
That's
this
the
inner bridge.
The inner bridge.
And the railroad ran on the south side of the bridge,
uh-huh.
On the same bridge.
Uh-huh.
With the tracks on there. Then the road was here. And you come off of there, and you went this. This is Savage Street.
Uh-huh.
You turn right there to Savage Street. Then you cross the river again, right? The Spring Lake.
The Spring Lake. Yeah.
And went that way. Or you went this way to Grand Rapids.
Sure.
And the Interurban cut across. I saw a picture of it in here.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it cut in.
Uh-huh.
And this is Savage Street here.
Yes. Okay. Huh. Now, both of those were swing bridges, weren't they?
Yeah, well, this was a big bridge.
Yeah.
They were both swing bridges at that time.
Yeah, right.
Then they put a jackknife in here, but this was a spring.
Yeah. That jackknife went in 1919, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, of course, the bridge across here went in 23.
Yeah, that went to... that was a job putting that across here.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was all like quicksand. You dumped it in there and kept right on dumping in the same spot.
Look at that. You remember that?
Yep.
Like a watch key.
And then they finally made it electric.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Made it. Uh-huh. But they had to actually crank it open.
Walk
around the circle.
Sure.
That guy looks familiar, too, but...
One of them is Gutchison's. His uniform was up in the museum at Coopersville.
This is the north side of the bridge on here.
Yeah.
The railroad's over here.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's another one in here.
They said there was good fishing in Grand River at that time.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's a good one. Yeah.
They say there was good fishing in Grand Haven at that time. All you had to have is fish pulling a hook. Did and then a piece of wire, a long piece of wire.
And what was the wire for?
Throw it up over the trolley to the other end in the river. You get a lot of fish.
Already cooked.
Stop the interurban all over.
Yeah, I bet there were some fancy things done with that interurban.
But you ought to hear some of them bridge tenders talk about the funny things that would happen down there.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah.
One guy was telling me how some niggers tied up on the jackknife.
Their boat.
They signaled for the bridge to rise up. Boatload of niggers went right up.
That would have been. Well, that was the jackknife bridge. Sure, the jackknife. Oh, yeah. Dumped them all out. Crazy. Well, then when you got to Grand Haven, then you followed Fulton.
Yeah. You followed 7th Street to Fulton.
So yeah.
Then you turned left. Went to the tannery.
Yeah.
Then you turned right and you was back out on...
Beechtree or... Yeah.
Road.
Yeah, right.
But then they had the city route. Turned on Fulton, you turned right. Followed this... And urban tracks, the third. And then third up to Washington, and you was downtown.
Okay, so what about Washington? You didn't use Washington Street. You more likely to use Fulton.
No, they...
Well, no... Yeah.
They didn't use much of Washington, no. It was downtown.
Urban tracks or streetcars were down Washington.
The post office used to be on 3rd and Washington.
Yeah, right.
And on that right there... When it was the West Michigan Pike, there was one of them posts there at the post office.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And then you could turn left and go right on out of town. They used Washington Street that way. People that knew it, strangers, didn't they? Well, they didn't even come uptown. They'd turn on Fulton Street and go through, you know.
Sure. Oh, yeah, right.
Right here, this is a basket factory here.
Okay, that's on... about Madison. Let's see, where was the basket? It was on the corner of Madison and 6th Street or somewhere in there.
I wouldn't know.
What was that?
The basket. The basket cup factory.
Oh, the basket factory. That was on Madison and 7th Street.
Was it 7th? 6th?
That was the old basket factory. Where, right there. Dick's,
right
in there now.
Okay, I'll be darned.
That used to be the basket factory, and then the piano factory that they built, Lawhead.
Oh yes,
piano. He built that building next to
Oh, he did. That he built that. Okay.
Because we used the basket factory after there was all of it. There was a car salesman in there for a while. And then Wolverine picked it up for a warehouse for Grand M Freight. Okay. And we used it for a while. They was using it yet when I quit Wolverine in 36.
You're talking about the Lawhead place, or the basket factory, or Lawhead?
The basket factory. Lawhead stayed there for, that was Elliot run a glove factory there.
Ah, okay, yeah. And then?
Then Lawhead got it.
Then he moved in.
Yeah,
that was the glove factory, okay. Yeah. That was. And that's how Elliot Street got its name, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Is the Elliot?
Elliot had that glove factory there for years. I don't know how long before I came along, but
yeah.
I can remember it being there.
This is Washington Street.
Oh, sure.
It's going around the curve here down to the Oval.
Yeah, that's a Gilner Hotel.
Yep. Tell me about this one. Where would this... Is this Mill Point or Spring Lake there?
No. Where the heck would that be?
Yeah, I never could figure out exactly. You know which one we're looking at, Jack?
Yeah.
Can you tell where that little white house would have been and where this was?
The white house, I think, would be the guys that swung the bridge.
Okay, let's see.
It'd be their shanty.
Yeah, you're right, George.
Well, that must have been taken there.
There it is, right there.
Yeah, see, that's what it is. This was an earlier picture. This before this was ever developed at all.
Yeah.
This is probably all just put the road in over the swamp there, because that was all low.
So we're looking. It would be
in
east or northeast.
This would be where the Holiday Inn is.
Yeah.
Right. Now.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where I always got it figured.
Because this is a shanty for them guys turning that bridge. They got to have a place.
Get on the ring.
Sure, that's right.
And they needed a pretty big shanty because they're generally four or five and they're playing cards all the time. Yes. Them tugs would have to whistle quite a few times to get them out of a card game.
You know, there was a Y at the glove factory, and I think it was Madison, where they could go up, turn around the Interurban. You remember a Y there?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't be at Madison, though. I think that would be Elliot. No, it wasn't Elliot either. That would be Madison. Madison Street. But I know what you're referring to. You're referring to that basket factory. They came by there and they run in.
Sure.
They hauled stuff out of there. So they had a spur in there going in.
Yeah.
And then when they came out, they just got a...
You know, but they could turn around there.
Yeah, they could turn around there.
Right.
Well, that's like the junction.
Okay, now. Well, that looks strong.
That junction.
Did you just draw this?
At Fruitport. They could turn around here, too. That's why this. If a train was coming from this way and you're going to Muskegon, they get over here.
Okay.
This coming from Grand Haven came in here. Well, then. The other one goes to Grand Rapids.
You're not a coffee drinker?
No, but thank you.
Oh.
Appreciate it.
The other one goes to Grand Rapids.
I see.
Like I see.
Okay. Well, if they wanted to turn a car around, all they had to do was jump here.
Well, I'll be darned.
So they, yeah. just,
so they could use that combination?
Any car that was going, uh-huh. they could swing them over. And then this here...
Cover over?
Would be this.
Uh-huh.
It's just a cover for them changing trains.
For the people?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was a platform. They had a change over on.
You've got a picture of that platform.
You got a picture of it? Right, this is as close as I can remember. This, they had seats here. They had a cover on it.
When did you draw this?
Huh?
When did you draw that?
Oh, God, a long time ago.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah,
well, it's darn good.
Well, when I don't have anything to do with it, something comes up and makes me think of it. And
because that is a
this
nice
year,
line.
Yeah, this here building.
A good drawer.
Yeah.
This here building on Apple here and 144th.
Apple and
144th. That's, well, if you go out here, the Annie's.
Oh, you're calling this Apple?
This Apple, right?
Okay, okay. All right.
You know where Annie's is up?
Yeah, that's a junction.
Yeah. That's 144th.
Well, that 44th.
Yeah.
And Apple.
I was going to tell you something about that there. Oh, that's that building across from Annie's, that cottage with all the windows in it. You know, that house that's there with...
That's a streetcar. Yeah.
Huh?
That's a streetcar.
Yeah. That was a streetcar. That's still there. Huh. The windows are all in there, but I don't know how they... what they did with the inside of that.
Huh.
You must have a picture of that somewhere.
Yeah, it's here someplace.
Now, when you call it a streetcar, it's the same as the interurban.
No, yeah, but it was a small one.
Streetcar is half the length of an interurban.
Oh, I see. So many of the lunch stations, lunch wagons and so forth, that they put at the side of the road, those were streetcars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interurban. Streetcars and interurbans.
Uh-huh. J.P. Sherrill bought a bunch of them when they went out of business for work gangs. Remember him? Jack?
No, I don't.
J.P. Sherrill? He paved most of these roads around here.
What is that?
Well, the light shines right on it.
It is. He's getting up in the air, isn't he?
He sure is, yeah. What the heck is going on there?
Oh, that's a pile driver.
Oh, is it? Okay, for...
Well, there's always a show-off, you know.
Yeah. It gets up on top?
Yeah.
Now, they were pile driving for what, bridges and so forth?
Well, when they had the washout down here in the flats, they had to use it.
Uh-huh. And where was that? Where were the flats?
Crockery Creek here.
Oh, okay.
1905, you know, everything washed out down there.
I saw a picture in here the other day that fascinated me. I knew it was in here, but I'd forgotten all about it. Now I saw found it again the other day. They used to do some screwy things back in them.
Tell me, is this part of the Spring Lake or Grand Haven riverfront?
No, that's a foundry in Fruitport.
Yeah, that's
Fruitport. Oh, that's the old
Fruitport foundry.
I'll be darned.
The junction pictures must be in that book. They're not.
Oh, okay. All right. The junction. Where did you get that foundry picture?
On a postcard, I guess.
Okay. Now, what junction are we looking for? Yeah, that's right. Fruitport. What did you call it? Annie?
A lot of people call it Fruitport Junction. They call it Spring Lake Junction. And
yeah. Grand Rapids Junction. It was a junction to get going where you wanted to go.
What is this one?
Yeah, that's Nunica.
It is Nunica. Okay. That's that little station.
Yeah, that's right. Across the street.
That's Mr. Bethania going after the mail. He used to... They had a platform here, see, and they'd throw the mail off, and it was his job to pick it up on the platform and put it in a wheelbarrow and take it to the post office.
Just threw a sack off, did they? Had a sack?
Well, whatever.
Now, let's see if we can find that here. See that, that. There's Fruitport. Boy, there's some tough-looking guys. Some real mug shots. What bridge is that?
Yeah, that's Godfrey Flat.
Oh, that is. Okay. What side, where would the highway be? And is this going
east? The superhighway would be this way.
Okay.
To the right.
Uh-huh.
This would have been north.
Okay.
Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
Was the old Roman.
Yeah.
That was US 16. Then
sure.
Then it come up here and up this corner and went by here. And they put this, they put that junction in between, listen, the railroad. After the Ann Arbor got out, they paved this and made this 16th. To Muskegon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before that, it went right on into Grand Haven, and then they took 30, Muskegon Road and went to Muskegon.
That wasn't
but
16th.
After the Ann Arbor went out of business, then they used an urban bed and laid Apple Street.
Oh, that.
And then they changed the highway and went through Fruitport instead of Spring Lane.
Now, tell me, you mean 16 went into Grand Haven?
Yeah.
It did.
I'll be darned.
In other words, a junction right in Ferrysburg.
So how would you get from here to Ferrysburg? Or Fruitport, I should say.
Well, we had to go down to Spring Lake or else up here to... Honolulu Road.
Honolulu Road.
Uh-huh. Huh. And Honolulu comes in up here someplace.
Yeah, yeah, and it intersects
112
there.
Huh. It would seem that that would be shorter.
Neighbor Township, stand by for medical 145.
Where is this one?
Well, that's Annie's Restaurant in Grand Rapids.
Oh, okay.
Or bakery, I guess they call it.
Okay, uh-huh. Now, is that the interurban? Looks like it.
Yeah, that's the big bridge.
Yeah,
the ice coming down.
Sure. That's Grand
There's
Rapids.
Grand
Rapids.
Pearl Street.
Yep. Huh. Where's that?
That's the main street in Fruitport.
Oh,
here's a pavilion over here.
Huh.
They call that the yard shanty.
Yeah.
See, that's a park back here.
Yes, right. Uh-huh. Same area.
Well, that's Nunica.
Oh, that's Nunica.
They had a few wrecks.
Yeah, that collision happened at Moon Lake on that curve.
Oh, did it? Now, that is Coopersville.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's the one that they've retained. Now, we still haven't found what we're looking for. Unica. Where's that double house?
Oh, that's in Muskegon.
Oh, okay.
There's the junction.
Oh, yes. And that's the one that you have depicted, where the people would...
You're a wedding list. Do you use cream in your coffee?
Jack?
Do you use cream?
No, I drink it by clothes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this streetcar, it's still there.
Okay,
the streetcar's still there. Oh, they built a house right around.
Because all you can tell now is by the windows.
Okay, now is this Spring Lake?
No, this, you go right out Apple.
Yeah.
Here, if you take Apple,
mm-hmm.
And when you get up there, there's a bunch of stores right there.
We always called it Annie's.
Yeah, that's Annie's Corner. It's 144.
104, okay, 144th.
And Apple.
I'm going to go back that way.
There's a garage there. It was a garage, and then they had a restaurant there one time. Now it's all living, I guess.
Yeah,
it's all living quarters.
Uh-huh.
But right across the street from that.
Uh-huh.
Where 144th comes this way, Apple comes this way, right in this feet.
Well, now
you'll see a house here. It's got windows all along.
Yeah.
That's a streetcar. That was a streetcar.
For that something?
That was for the junction. And it's still windows.
Right now there's a big detour sign there where you gotta turn right to jog.
Oh, I know where it is. Sure. Okay. I know what you're talking about then. Sure.
That was a streetcar?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That was a streetcar there.
In 1940, when I went to the Continental, we used to stop
in
there.
I got a kick out of this one.
Beer.
I don't know it.
Oh,
did you ever see that?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
They had that, and then they took it down and sent it to the World's Fair.
Yeah, right. And stuck it there, put it back together again.
Yeah.
I've been told.
Two horses pulled out a quarter of a mile on ice.
That's pretty hard to imagine.
125 ton.
The trouble was getting it started. Then it would go easy
on
ice, see?
Sure. Getting it stopped would be a problem then.
Oh, that's an awful load for
a
team of horses.
Isn't that something, though?
Yeah, I've seen that picture before.
Yeah.
I know. I just run across it again.
It was staged.
Yeah.
But, they didn't.
They say they couldn't do anything with horses.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah, pretty good. You know, you were telling me before.
That's one.
You were driving bus in Grand Haven before you were 16?
Yeah.
Before you were 15?
16.
Okay.
Because Tony Pepple knew the family. Well, the cops, John Welch, and all them guys. You know, a small town then.
Okay, how large was...
You got the 7th Street, you was out in the country.
How large was the police force?
Well, that was Tony Pepple. He was chief of the fire department, chief of police. And Emil Klumpel was a night watchman. That was it.
I'll be darned. When you say night watchman, he was the police force at night. Yeah.
We like to draw them up for the first armistice for World War I. BB's lived on the corner of 1st of Washington and 2nd Street, or 1st Street. And overhead on the building that was there. That building's still there, but... They used to have apartments upstairs.
Yeah.
And he lived up there. We were just kids. And we got heard about it, so everybody's celebrating. And we got a fish line and ran it over to Columbus Street School. The old Columbus Street School was,
bowling alley.
Between 2nd, 1st and 2nd Street. Right in the middle, on the south side.
Right.
They had a bowling alley in there for a while.
Right, yeah.
Well, that was the Columbus Street School. We ran that fish line over to the Clapper and the Bell. And we waited till night when everybody's celebrating and rang the bell. Old Lady Ammonicker was ready.
and you were ringing the school bell. I'll be darned.
Emil Klumpel come down with his flashlight, and he's flashing it all over the... We were sitting on the porch. Finally, he decided to talk to business. Then he left. He got down on the next corner and he goes. Oh, that went on for quite a while. Then finally the damn string broke. By the time we got done, we had such a pile of people out there, the hose was everybody.
And you were right close to, right across the street from this goal?
You couldn't see the line. The fish line was
perfect.
And if the kids would do that now, they'd be in jail.
Yeah, they might be. Listen, about right. Do you know that they're right there? It was across the street from the school. There is across the street from the school.
It was on the corner.
Oh, you
were watching you.
Oh, okay.
And then Columbus is here.
Yeah.
And here's the school. We was over here.
You were on the corner of Washington?
Yeah.
Washington and First Street.
Yeah.
Now, was your home there?
No, that was BB lived there.
Oh, BB. And there was a home there, though.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you remember...
Old Amo reminded me of that a lot of times.
Right over here, you know, the story in Clark Piano finally took over all there. But right about here, there's a guy that smoked fish. And I used to, back in the... I thought, that's her.
Yeah. She was the one that... She was even ready to move up.
Oh, okay, because that was her... I see. I thought maybe you meant she was the school teacher. She wasn't the school teacher. She just lived there.
Yes, just lived there.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was Bill's. Bill smoked fish, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Now, who would that have been?
Darn Bart.
You were driving bus in Grand Haven. But that was just in town, was it? Would it have been that bus? Where is that? Where are those pictures?
Oh, it just took off.
No, we're right up there, Jack. Right up there on the corner.
Oh, here, yeah, let me get that picture of the, this one. Now, did you ever drive that one?
No, that was George Vandenberg's.
Okay, and I wonder what year car that is. It looks like it's a 20s, or is it teens?
Well, I don't remember what that was, I think.
About 1912 or 14, 15? Those are
would be right around 1915.
Those are wooden wheels.
Yeah.
Now, what bus did you drive? It was an inner city bus.
Yeah, well, we drove Muskegon to Grand Haven.
Oh, you did? Okay. But when was it? Oh, okay. Muskegon to Grand Haven. I see. That's the one you drove.
Oh.
And what? That looked like a. Was that a Chevrolet?
That's a white.
Oh, that's a white also.
Yeah. That's a white.
Oh, that's
chassis, and that's a white.
That's the one that you went to Chicago to get.
Yep.
Oh, that's it. Okay. All right.
That's the one the guy looked at me. He said, "I don't know, something wrong here."
In Chicago,
I said, "Well, I got I said, "Well, I got a letter." He read the letter and he hollered at the guy. He says, "Get him on that bus." And he says, "He's going to take it to Muskegon." Oh, how the hell he's going to get there?
Yeah, and they couldn't tell you how to. They could tell you how to get out of Cook County, and that was about it.
Yeah, they got me a mechanic out of there, and he took me to Lever Brothers Soap Factory out on Indianapolis Boulevard. And he says, "No, you stay on this until you get, I don't know, some point. And you make a left, and you'll be in Gary, Indiana. And then you'll have to ask, because he says, I don't know what to make a
And something. Sure, and Rhodes didn't. You were crisscrossing your way all the way back to Michigan, probably.
Yep.
Went through every town.
Yeah, that's but for I had enough trouble on that trip to last the guy
Did the tires make it all
because
the way?
Because I got on the Alabama, and she went to run Chicago all the time every night.
Okay.
Every other night.
Yeah.
So I rode the boat over to Chicago.
Way back.
And then I got off there.
Hard rubber tires they used to put on their boats.
Were these hard rubber tires or pneumatic tires?
They're pneumatic tires, but we had one on there. It said there was a sign behind the driver here, and it had a partition there between the driver and the seat. And they had a sign up there. It was Fisk tires.
Oh, okay.
And it said, check the right front tire on this car. It's been on there for 21,000 miles. And that was a big advertisement.
Although, sure.
You had more flat tires than anything else.
Well, all right, coming from Chicago, did you make it all the way without a flat tire?
Oh, yeah. She come right on through.
Uh-huh. That's pretty
the
good.
Only thing I had trouble, I lost the battery. It fell out. I had to stop and get a guy to come fix that. It was in a box right here. Right?
I'll be darned.
Underneath there.
Did it fall right out on the road?
Yeah. Something let go on it. I don't remember what it was. But it dropped the battery. It dropped out far enough so one terminal came off.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now, you said you got on the Alabama.
Yeah, and then I got to Chicago, I just caught the streetcar right there of Navy Pier.
Uh-huh.
The Alabama tied up there, too. So that was all right. But I asked him what streetcar I had to take to get to White Motor Company. Now, I had the address. It was Ogden Avenue. But, I asked the trio, he says, I'll tell you when to change. Okay, so he did. Well, we went down Wacker Drive, and then we got down State Street, and which I knew later was State Street. I didn't, then it didn't mean. But he says, you get on a State Street car and tell the conductor, and he'll drop you off at, make the Ogden connection. So I sat on that damn streetcar and rode it. Finally he got on there, he come walking through there with a handle, he's going to go back. I said, where's Ogden Avenue? Oh, he said, I forgot all about you. So I rode all the way back to Chicago again. He's from South Chicago.
Oh, did he give you a free ride?
He said, it's my mistake. It was only a nickel anyhow, so it didn't make any difference. I finally got there.
But when you were driving this in town, you were only 15 years old.
Yep.
And how many people rode it? A lot of people, or?
Oh, yeah. The Muskegon line was a darn good line. 35 cents to go to Muskegon.
Now, you were competing with the Interurban at that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they were only charging...
The competition was so great at that time. In the spring of the year, it rained quite a bit. The Interurban turned us in for not having enough tires to compensate for the road conditions.
Oh, yeah.
And God darn us, the state didn't go along with them. And they said, you're all right behind, but you're not all right in front. You got two tires, that's all right. But you can't get by on them single tires and lead. So Earl Shafir, one of the drivers, he said, well, why not put bigger lug bolts in? We'll put duals on the front. But we didn't have power steering. So they put duals on the front. What a joke. You try to make a corner. And you back up again. About four times and you get that thing out of the corner.
Isn't that something? So these were duals.
We were on one spring for 2 weeks.
with jewels because of the weight on the on the road. Sure,
it was just a nothing to it. Just competition.
Yeah, right. Now you were you charged 35 cents to go from Grand Haven to Muskegon, but Interurban was only 25, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Do you remember, Jack?
Yeah.
Of course, I don't remember either. I had always assumed that you could go from Grand Haven to Grand Rapids for 25 cents. So, but that was, of course, not much earlier because this was 1920. Well, you you were 15 years old. You were born
1920.
Okay. So, the Interurban was right in his prime at that point. Well, maybe not. They
were starting
because this was 1923.
Which one?
I think.
This? Oh, yeah. Oh, here, let me see what that says.
See, the Interurban didn't have their buses till after they folded in 1928.
Oh, did they have buses?
Yeah, then they come out with them buses.
Huh?
And then, the Interurban had the buses after they folded.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then they sold out to the Greyhound.
Okay.
The Interurban ran them buses for a while, and they sold out to Morningstar. Morningstar was running the bus, city bus in Muskegon. He had a route in Muskegon. And then he took over the Interurban buses. Pretty sure that was Morningstar. And he charged a dollar to Grand Rapids.
Well, you had train for competition.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder what the fare on a train was.
I don't know, but the competition wasn't that great for Grand Rapids to...
Be the Grand Trunk.
I think there was only one passenger train a day over the Grand Trunk, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, I
think. Durham Marquette, they had about four trains a day.
North-south.
North-south.
Right? Yeah.
And they had long... They had a mess of coaches. They'd have a couple of two or three baggage cars on, and then they had coaches.
Yeah.
But there was milk runs, you know. They stopped at every West Olive and Agnew and all them places. They stopped rolling.
Trying to find that ticket. Remember that?
That what?
Well, he had a ticket in here. I think it was... Maybe not. Maybe it was in this book. I guess it would have been this... Here it is, right here. Now, there's no price on that ticket, though.
Well, how'd you get a hold of them tickets, Jack?
Oh, different guys that worked on it. They had them passes.
Hmm?
Joe Plant. Joe said this was a transfer pass.
Oh, okay. July. Well, here. July 10. They don't even put the year down. I wonder if that is the time. Sure, that would have been 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Maybe it was good until then. Went up to Bridge Street and it looks like Butterworth, Granville, Cherry, Wealthy Division. So it looks like that's...
Yeah, they used to hit Denison out here and all. I never remember. He'd say, East Denison, go across the street. West Denison, nothing there.
Were there two stops? Two stops?
They'd stop. No, it wasn't just a one. It's a one stop.
Yeah.
But he'd call them off just. Well, there's nothing there, so I'd make a joke out of it.
The last crossing down here was Rolandagan's, way out in the
country. Was it?
Yeah.
Name for your family.
Yeah.
You know, I was told that when Cooper gave the land to the railroad and they got them to name the town of Coopersville, he said one requirement is there must not be another station for 6 miles, and Denison was the next stop.
Well, that would have been the steam line.
Yeah, right, exactly. And but then the interurban hit it too. How close were they together, the steam line and the interurban?
Well, they were on pretty close.
Yeah, they were pretty well parallel.
Yeah.
Well, see, they crossed the railroad twice. They crossed it overhead at the cemetery, and then at Marn by that church. That's where they went overhead and got over on the other on the north side of the track.
Went right by the fairgrounds.
I can't picture exactly where that would be.
They come out of Grand Rapids and into
well, they went right down Leonard Street for a while.
Marn, they were running on the stop on the well, via south of the expressway. They cross over the road there, right by that church, remember?
Yeah, that big old Catholic church there.
That overhead. They crossed over onto the north side of the railroad. And then they went back, not again until they got to Spring Lake. Then they had to cross the Grand Trunk again. So then they went over back at the cemetery.
Yeah, Jack was telling me where that is. I'm going to check on that. I think I've got it figured out about where you're talking. If you went down, probably the best way is just to walk down the, which is a pathway now, walk down the old
interurban bed,
Grand Trunk bed.
Well,
is
the Grand Trunk, either one.
Yeah.
They're parallel right there.
Uh-huh.
When you go down Savage Street in Spring Lake, there used to be, right where the Catholic Church is now.
Yeah.
There used to be a turnout and go. They had two tracks there. So the interurbans could pass.
I'll be there.
They're scheduled for, they'd meet right here in Spring Lake. They're going both ends. So they put that in there, and they'd wait there. And then
they only needed one at the side, and then they'd just wait, and the other...
Just the spur, just right alongside. Uh-huh. Instead of a single rails going down, there'd be two for the length of two streetcars, that's all.
Did you ever hear that, Jim?
No.
You remember that?
No, I don't, George.
The other thing that he told us about that fascinated me was the watchtower at 7th or at Fulton and where the railroad crosses at Fulton, and they'd put a gate down there to stop the interurban. Now, who was it that was in the tower? It was the railroad that had to man the tower, and they manned the gates too, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they run that, but I don't know who put them up there, the interurban or the railroad.
Oh,
I don't know whose tower it was, but that, you mean on Fulton Street?
Yeah.
Somebody would have to pay them guys, either railroad probably,
Yeah, interurban or railroad. Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah, where they cross there, they had a tower right there, right across from Michigan John.
When Michigan John was on Fulton?
Yeah, he had a little store. He had a little store here.
In the house, wasn't it?
In the house.
No,
that's when I remember him. He started out in the house.
Yeah, well, they finally separated. He had a little store there. Because he had that store and he had them shelves. Hell, he didn't have much money. You know, he was just starting.
Sure.
So he'd sell you something, you'd buy something from him, and he'd say, Well, you're going to throw the box away. Give it to Pop. And put it back on the shelf.
Yeah. It looked like he had a lot of stuff. He
just asked himself to go.
He'd say, well, I'll get it for you tomorrow. For you tomorrow. He put the empty boxes up there. They look like big business.
Look good. Well, that's not all bad.
It worked out. He's still in business.
Yeah, you bet. That's right. Gosh, you think that you did business with the dad, probably. You did business with his dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he used to let me fix my bicycle.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Nope, another good one I just heard the
other
day.
What George says, I'm his oldest customer. With his dad, too.
This Omley that used to live around here, you know, he had a whole bunch of kids, never much money. Went up to Winters when he had a junkyard up here, see, and got a whole bunch of used parts and come up to pay for it, and he lost his pocketbook. Oh, Winters. Felt so sorry for him, see, he give him the parts. But he always pulled them kind of deals.
He
always lost his pocketbook or somebody stole it.
Gee, I think he'd have gotten wise to that. You know, in some of the pictures of Nunica, this was quite a thriving town.
Oh, yeah.
Because this Main Street where you live here,
used to be busy.
Yeah, I lived on the corner here, and when the highway went through here, you know, a lot of people would hit the house there.
That house over there got hit more times, more fortunes were on that house.
Well, now, what happened?
After we lived here, Rick Bukema cut that tree down because somebody was always hitting that tree.
What highway was it? Not 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 16 then.
And that went by right here.
It was a temporary route.
Okay.
That's what I was saying earlier. When they put Apple, when the Inurban quit, then they put Apple Street in.
Yeah, okay.
And then they brought 16 up this corner and pitched it over to there.
Oh, I see.
And then when they got a little more money, then they tied it in.
Made a loophole out there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They'd done away with this corner. They got the fixes. Got sick of fixing porches on it.
But the last guy that hit that was a Herpelsheimer's truck. He only had a few miles on the thing. It was brand new. And the guy was out chasing around with some clerk from the store.
Uh-oh.
And this happened real late at night. It was in the... We was married. It was after the 40s. He turned her over right here. And he went right sideways along the house. And he moved the whole building a couple inches.
He really hit it.
And the insurance wasn't going to pay, see? Stolen truck. He didn't have permission to have the thing.
Sure. They weren't going to pay you, or?
They wasn't going to settle.
Uh-huh.
But I guess they finally did.
Jeez. Wild. Well, that amazes me that the highway came right through Nunica then. Yeah, and what was the name of the street that ran this way? That looked like it was a pretty busy street. There were...
Michigan Avenue.
Would that have been Michigan Ave?
No, it was right this one right here.
Oh, this is it?
This is it, yeah.
Okay. There were a lot of stores on it?
Well, Michigan Avenue had Peterson Eastley and Westover's.
Okay. And that would have been right along here?
No, that was the other one over, south.
Oh,
next street south.
Okay. Yeah. And Leo Brown was telling me there used to be a dance hall over here.
Yeah, right in the corner there.
Right here.
Okay.
Dance hall and skating rink.
Then the Oddfellows was on Michigan Avenue down there by the
Yeah, right over there.
Body shop now. Okay. And I was born in the house right across the road.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was a good. That was a good dance hall, boy. I can remember.
Yeah, the married folks' dance. One Saturday night they'd have it at the Odd Fellas Hall, and the next Saturday night it would be over here.
And what was this one called?
That was the Grange Hall.
The Grange Hall. That was it. Okay. Yeah. All right. And that Grange Hall is no longer there.
Oh yeah, it's still there.
The Grange Hall is. I've got to take a look at that. I'll be darned.
It belongs to Grunick's now. It's just a warehouse.
Okay. It's right across the street here.
Well, we used to come over to the one over there.
The Outfellas.
Dance, we just come over there. Some place to do.
Hang around.
But before that, the Palin Hall, that was a three-story building that stood in there. And the dance floor was on top. Third store.
Now, where was that? At the Odd Fellow or here?
No, over there.
Okay.
By the Odd Fellows.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Mrs. Gleason said they'd get to dancing up on the third floor and the whole building would rock.
Now, yeah, show me where the Odd Fellows was then. Go across the railroad track, across the interurban track.
Yeah, go down Michigan Avenue, the body shop over there, that's where the Odd Fellows Hall was.
Okay, now, and this street right out here, this is Maine.
Yeah.
And then go down to Michigan, turn right on Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right there where the body shop is, that's where the Odd Fellows Hall was.
Okay. Yeah, and I've got to see the Grange Hall out here. Gee, I didn't realize that was still there. That's great.
Yeah, this one's still... The kids use it for skating rink for quite a while.
Several years it was a skating rink.
Join us again for the young.
That was when Mr. Gosney was a
Methodist. Yeah, right here.
Oh, let me see.
Yeah. That's some good times around here.
Yeah.
Our day is just beginning.
Well, I'm going to let you guys go.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, one thing I did want to ask you. When you were driving truck, you drove between here and Chicago a lot, or?
Well, when I worked at Wolverine, I was in Chicago every other day. And I had three trips a week to Chicago.
And that would have been in the 30s, 40s?
Yeah, I was in the early 30s because I quit Wolverine in 36. And then I wanted to go further.
Yeah.
So I went with Interstate then.
And then?
I drove West Coast, East Coast.
Wow.
I drove all over.
That's before...
I've got over 4 million miles in.
Gee.
And I've no chargeable accident.
Huh.
Never had a chargeable one. I've been in accidents, but it's unavoidable.
Sure.
But I was never the cause of one.
Uh-huh.
And I got one ticket, and I got that 1936 for 35 miles an hour.
In a 25-mile zone, probably. Yeah, right. 35 miles an hour. Dude, you're really barreling.
But I've been in every state in the Union.
Huh.
With Sheldon, I worked for E.H. Sheldon for 26 years. And... That's what they made, school furniture, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, they say, ever go to college? Hell yeah, I've been to every one in the country.
I never went to any of them. I've been to all of them.
I was in Harvard when I had a back over the sidewalk. I had to take a special door because there was a limb by the door where you had... Should unload, but truck is too high. And you don't touch no limbs, and at Harvard. Them trees are
sacred. Been there a long time.
So I had to back up this door and had a sidewalk block. That guy was unloading it. Here comes a little professor, books under his arm. I'm standing out there and he says, "Ah, new furniture. Did it come by truck?" Maybe truck set it there, right? E.A. Sheldon, in Michigan. Well, he walked on up the road.
He's a college graduate.
That bigger, colored guy is unloading. He stuck his head around and he said, "They call me a letter."
Dumb question.
That was the stupidest question. Yeah.
Well, you were hauling back. You were doing semis, though, semi truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was, boy, you know, a semi.
Yeah. Well, we didn't drive them, we hauled them.
Yeah.
We had 86. I had 86 horse Waukesha engine.
Is that all? 86 horse. Jeez.
And two trailers. You ain't going to go very fast.
Huh.
We used to stop between here and Grand Haven and Grand Rapids about every mile and a half and let the traffic go by. And then we'd go again. We'd hold it up. They didn't have shoulders, remember? They didn't have shoulders on the side of the road. You go off the side of the road, off the hard slab, you're stuck.
Yeah.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
So we'd pick out the places where we knew they were safe, and then we'd pull off and let the traffic through.
See.
I can't blame the people at that time for being mad at trucks, because they couldn't. It wasn't the driver's fault. They just couldn't get any more out of them. That's all.
Sure.
Yeah. And you had a steering wheel. He's half big as this table.
Well, that was your power steering.
Didn't have no power steering.
Hand power.
Especially them solid tires. Oh, boy.
And you did have solid tires then.
Yeah.
You did drive those.
Oh, yeah. Goodrich. That's what we had on Goodrich. All we had was, they put pneumatic tires on the front. But that's all.
So you
don't go fast with a solid tire anyhow. With a load on 30 miles an hour, that's tops for a solid tire.
They would rock.
Because they build up heat. They'll blow off. They get so damn hot, they'll blow. I blew one on Beach Street right in Grand Haven, about Washington Street. That'd be about where it would be.
Okay.
And that thing blowed, and I went back there looking to look like somebody lost a wig. All that hot rubber streaming down.
Yes, and nuts.
When the tire came around, it broke out two of the cross members on the bottom of the trailer.
I'd never heard of that. I just assumed they were indestructible. They were okay in the wintertime then.
Oh.
I don't know, they were pretty bald. I imagine they were pretty slippery.
I had enough wintertime in 1936. That one, I think we shoveled snow from Sweden to Chicago sometime or other. We was on every foot of
it. Yeah, right out in front of my house. Well, I didn't live there then, but the snow was piled up so high that you could stand on the bank and take a hold of the telephone wires.
Jeez.
I was on the meat run for Wolverine. And we come out of Chicago, and that was a must run. Hard freight, that could wait, but the meat had to go.
Yeah.
That was food. So we come out of Chicago, we get to Benton Harbor, And then from Button Harbor North, it was just one big snowbank. So we go from Benton Harbor to Kalamazoo, down to Grand Rapids, into Holland, because the winds was mostly, she was plugging up all the north and south roads. But the east and west roads were
open.
So we go into Holland, unload there, come back out to Grand Rapids, go down 3-4 blocks, then come into Grand Haven. Then go back to Grand Rapids and go over to 37 and get into Muskegon.
Yeah.
That's it. We done that for about 2 weeks of it, the last part of it.
Gee. Well, I've heard about that snow of 36.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Bones Farm, they had a fine. They notified them all along the route that the county had gotten a big snowblower from up north. They brought it down here, and they was going to come through. And they wanted to know where all the trucks and cars were. And they was out from Bones Farm with them clothes poles. They used to hold the clothes up, you know, put under the clothesline.
Yeah.
Long poles. They was down out there walking around looking for sunlight. On the road.
Isn't that something?
Walking right over the telephone poles. The light poles are a little higher. They were just walking right over the telephone pole.
Now, whose farm was it? Bowen?
Huh?
Whose farm?
Bowen's farm. This side of Holland.
Oh, I see. Okay. Gee.
Boy, that snow was deep. Then they had to get a gang in there when the blower did get there. They had to keep pushing the snow down to feed it. It could have tunneled its way through, but could have had a place to put the snow.
Huh. So you had to keep knocking it down.
Knocking it down was wrong though.
Huh.
When they finally got it open, we had to fold our mirrors up. Because bring them into the truck, couldn't have your rear view mirror though. Because it cut into the snow.
Yeah.
It was the woods of that.
Yeah.
Well, how did you decide who was going to take the road?
Yeah.
How did you decide? It was just one way. Who got to use it?
Well, they let them go so far, and then just somebody stop and wait for. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Take a handkerchief with you or something, or paper, and give it to the guy, and you let him haul it back.
Oh, okay.
Anything you had, if you had a chance to go into it, go into it. That takes something along. When you met somebody else that's going, trying to go the other way, give him something.
Yes,
it was just a scramble.
And that's the main highway.
They worked on it, but that was a bad winter, boy. Yeah.
That was the main highway you're talking about.
Yeah, 31. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 11, then.
Well, you were telling me that the when the road was paved, there were turnouts.
Yeah. They had them going toward Holland when they first paved it. They put one lane and then they had passing lane, you know, every so far.
Did you ever hear that?
No,
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about the passing lane on the interurban. Was that the only one in that? Was there one?
Oh, they had them different places. Wherever their schedules, you know, their trains are close, they put one.
Yeah, Denison would have one. Then here, there was a siding.
Well, you didn't have radio and everything to talk with. You just had to
telegraph. By your clock. Sure. You know, the road, Washington was the first paved road in Grand Haven, 1910, brick. And I think that brick followed the interurban line all the way.
It did.
Yeah, okay. Went on 7th Street and...
that was brick or... Well, they had a mixer. They put a mixer up on the end of Franklin Street. It was a big mixer. And then they hired a crew put them on it. And they had dump trucks. This gravity dump that was about a yard and a half. That's about all the bigger they were. You had to back up fast and then pull the handle and stop it. And the box would flip up.
Uh-huh.
It was all gravity. And that's what they hauled the cement. And then they'd done a lot of paving around Grand Haven. They paved Howard Street on that. Because on Howard Street, I drove for metering a couple of days when I was there. And we turned the corner by the armory to go up Second Street Hill. And stop out cement. Pretty soon they had a bump there.
We'd swap it out.
Yeah.
We couldn't help it. But the mixer was where again now? It was on... the mixer was located where?
Right on the end of Franklin Street by the river.
Okay.
And they used... Right on the end of Franklin Street. Just back right into the mixer. The railroad track went by there going down to Sam Garland's and Grand Haven Brass, or American Brass.
Yeah, Michigan Brass.
Michigan Brass. Anyhow, them tracks went down there, and then just across the tracks was a mist.
Where was the power plant at that time, the electric power plant?
The power plant was...
Right on the harbor, wasn't it?
The gas plant was across where it was. You know, they just moved.
Uh-huh. Right.
They had two big tanks there.
I'm going to make
amends. The power plant was down at the foot of Clinton in 1896. And I think it moved up here about 1913, up right next to the diesel plant. And then in 1931, they put in the diesel plant. I think that was it. And that was for water and electric, because they were pumping using the same steam.
It's funny, I don't remember where the flight went. In fact, we didn't even have a... When I was little, fart. Let's see, when did we get electric lights? We got them when I... My folks got lights when...
I need to do more.
Well, you will.
It's been about 10 years old.
And that is worth
it.
I suggest we tackle
further
down the
road. Well, I'd like to do it
about
now.
About 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We got lights on
LA. But when I wake up in the morning, James, and I look in the mirror.
And we have one light bulb in each room.
Oh, yeah.
That's all we have.
Sure. And open.
Just
hanging. But when we got lights, then we got inside toilet, too.
It was really modernized. Yeah.
I can remember the first ones around here.
Electric lights?
I can remember old Chief Shogaway. The old Indian chief lived on Second Street. My dog got his leg caught. Cut an artery, I guess, because it bled. And I was sitting there bawling, holding the dog's leg, and old Shogaway came right.
Hello.
And he says, "You go out there in the privy out there," he says, "reach up and get all the cobwebs. Bring them out. Bring me all the cobwebs." God, I run out there, and cobwebs from all over.
Had
a handful. He put them on there. He said, "It'd be all right." They quit bleeding.
And he was an Indian.
Old Shogaway.
Shogaway. Never heard that.
Never lived on Second Street, way down. Oh, Frank. Well, anyhow, he lived on Second Street. He lived. They've changed the streets, so the neighborhoods have changed. It's hard to say.
Yeah, that's right. They have. Yeah,
because they took half of the houses out and put streets in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Particularly 4th Street is no longer there. Hey, it goes past.
I can't remember his name. Frank. Yeah.
What were we doing?
His daughter and.
Leo Brown probably told you about the Indian who used to live around here.
Damn.
Can't remember who that was.
I don't know his name now, but then anyway, they wasn't supposed to drink liquor, you know. You weren't supposed to serve them in the tavern. But anyway, they had a barrel of whiskey down here on the platform. Set there a couple of days, I guess. And the darn little nigger or Indian would be drunk around town. You know, they wondered where he was getting it. The guy had drilled a hole through the platform, through the barrel.
Underneath.
Underneath.
He drained it. He drained the thing. Pretty clever. Well, there's no evidence until you turn the barrel over.
There used to be quite a few of them old Indians around here yesterday.
Is that right? They fit into to society pretty well, or were they...
They did, the ones that lived around here, yeah. They wasn't whiters.
You know, in Grand Haven, along the river, they just had sewer pipes that ran right into the river.
Yeah.
There was no sewer system at all until about the 30s. Do you remember that sewer plant that they had in the 1930s?
No, I didn't. Pay much attention to that.
It's down where Weaver's Junkyard is.
Yeah.
About in that area.
Oh, yeah. That's the old Cooperage shop used to be down in there.
Uh-huh. Now, did you have a sewer plant here? You don't
know
even now?
No, all outlaws is around here.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, there was only maybe two or three houses that had them bathrooms in them.
Indoor plumbing.
Yeah, Leo Brown, he was one of the first ones. That was the Emil Hass house. Had an indoor bathroom.
What'd you do for a living?
Well, I worked at Continental Motors.
Oh, you did?
40 years.
And Leo worked at his dad's feet?
Yeah, he inherited his father's business.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. This
was just as many.
We haven't got nothing else to do.
It's about as many livery barns when I was a kid as there is garages around there now. There's Ed Smith's garage, livery barn on Washington Street, in the 100 block there.
Oh, you're talking about Grand Haven now?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was Ed Smith's garage there, or barn.
Livery.
And then there was, Scott McCambridge, he was down there, and the Glopper was on 2nd Street.